Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day. Well, if you listen often enough, you know I ask a question every single day. And here's my thought-provoking question for you today. In the depths of your heart, do you desire for God to do the impossible in and through you? Do you desire, when it's all said and done, for people to be able to say, that person, you, he, she lived a life totally disproportionate to who she is because God was so big in her life. God was so big in his life. Do you want that for you? Or do you find yourself settling kind of in that land of mediocrity and you've lost the sense of vision just because you're so tied to your past, tied to present struggles that you stopped dreaming? Well, Nick Hall is my guest this hour. Glad to have him in studio. And he wants to remind us that Jesus has given us an opportunity today to hit the reset button in our lives. No matter what has been holding you back, a reset is available by the grace of God. It's great news. We come to you today with fantastic news. And it is time to say yes to the life that you were meant to, even destined to live. I'm going to get Nick on in just a moment. I have a quick announcement for you. So honored to be partnering again this year with FEBC. They're broadcasting the life-changing word of God. Listen to this. In 40 countries, 100 languages, listeners from all over the world are actually requesting radios because they want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So $30 provides a radio, and every radio has the power to reach 25 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you want to take your radio mission work to a new level, check out more information at givearadio.org. Okay, let me tell you about my guest. He's been on the show before. He's no stranger to Faith Radio or Live the Promise, but I'm going to introduce him just the same. Nick Hall is founder of the Pulse Ministry and the leader behind the Reset Movement. He has shared the Reset message of Jesus to, listen to this, millions around the world. He is the vision behind Together 2016. It's the gathering in the National Mall in Washington, D.C., coming up on July 16th. And he and his wife, Tiffany, live in Minneapolis. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Nick, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Susie.
Always good to have you on the show. And for the pace that you keep, you don't look as tired as you seem like you should be.
Well, man, I'm, you know, God keeps us going. I'm grateful, yeah. Grateful to be alive and grateful. You know, the sun is shining in Minnesota. You can't complain.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we can look too long at the news, Nick, and we can hear the rant, watch the rant on social media, and you could deduce in no time that we live in terrible times, which is true. We're seeing, you know, cultural implosion all around us, but in the worst of times, we find the best of times because we believe the God of the Bible, and the Bible does say when that enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. So this is actually an amazing time for Christians to be alive, wouldn't you say?
Amen. You know, I heard it said, you know, the darker the room gets, the brighter the flashlight is.
Oh, yeah.
And I think those are definitely the times we live in, and I think those of us that have faith, we really have a choice every day of whether we're going to choose to place our hope where everybody else does, which is in sinking sand. Let's just be honest about it. Whether it's politics, whether it's social issues, whether it's circumstances, money, relationships, whatever, or we can remember where our hope comes from. And I think that's really the opportunity we have right now as followers of Jesus to find our hope again in him and realize that God is in heaven right now. He's not intimidated. He's not afraid. He's not overwhelmed. Right. God is not in heaven right now saying, you know, what am I going to do with the political situation? You know,
yeah.
He's not saying I've never dealt with anything like this
he's
before.
He's not stressed out.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, are we putting our hope in him or are we putting our hope in everything else? And I think it's kind of a test for us when we find ourselves stressed out by all of these things around us. It really reveals where our hope is. And mm-hmm. I think we need a reset of our hope back to where it's supposed to be. And I think God wants to give us that hope, that joy, that eternal perspective.
And so whether you're listening today and you stumbled on the dial and you've never trusted Christ or you've walked them a long time, the fact of the matter is our wheel and our, you know, like our steering wheel, it pulls left or it pulls right, it pulls us right into the ditch. Everybody needs a reset at some point. Some need small course corrections, some need major course corrections, and we'll get into that. But we love to start out the conversation, Nick. We've already hit the ground running. I love it. But we love to start out talking scripture, and you chose Habakkuk 3:2. Do you have it in front of you? Do you want me to read it?
I'd much rather
you read it. So why don't you read it and speak to it if you would?
Yeah, Habakkuk 3:2, the prophet says this. He says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And I just love this passage. In fact, this was one of the passages that inspired so much of what we do with Pulse and really so much of this gathering on the National Mall. The prophet, in the book of Habakkuk, it's this obscure book in the Old Testament. You know, it's kind of like towards the end, you kind of forget it's there. And he begins the book of Habakkuk kind of complaining to God. And so I can relate. You know, he's kind of like, God, why is there injustice? Why is there war? Why is there hardship? And so when I was a college sophomore, I came across this book and I was like, I like this guy. You know, he's just being real with God. And I love that there's verses in the Bible where people are complaining. Like for me, that's like liberating. There's something that's, you know, there's even a verse right in the Old Testament where it says, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, right? That's one of my favorite verses. Mm-hmm. Like I love that it's okay to say, God, I don't know what to do, right? Well, Habakkuk's complaining to God. And God switches his perspective. Literally, it's a reset that we're watching in real time as we read this. God comes to Habakkuk 1:8 and says, I'm going to do something in your day you wouldn't believe if you were told. The conversation goes on over the next two chapters, and then we get to Habakkuk 3, where the prophet's heart has changed. He goes from complaining and bitter to saying, God, you know what? I'm ready to see you move. And so he says this. He says, Lord, I've heard of it. God, I've heard of what you've done before. God, I stand in awe of it. He says, Lord, I want to see it. Lord, would you do it in our day? And so this has really been our prayer. We'll talk all the time that it's for some people, it's enough just to hear about the Bible, hear the stories. It kind of goes in one ear, out the other. But then we'll say there's another group of people that hearing about it moves them to act and worship. And that's why Habakkuk says, God, I've heard of it. And then he says, I stand in awe of it. But then we used to say as students, but there's a third, kind of a crazy group of people that they're not content just to hear about it. They're not content just to worship over it. They say, God, I need to see this. I need to see that you can do this. I want to see the dead raise. I want to see 3,000 added. I want to see the walls fall down. I want to see my friends, my family. I want to see this situation change, right? And I think that's that prayer of Habakkuk. It's a bold prayer that has to do with saying, God, would you do it again? And so that's the heartbeat of this passage that I read today.
So good. It makes me think, I think it's Psalm 90:16, and it says, let us see your miracles once again. Let our children see your glory at work, and may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. I love that because it's bold and it's audacious. It says, let us see this. You know, we do walk by faith, not by sight. But Lord, may our faith become sight because we're not letting you go until you bless us. And, you know, you've talked about your backstory before, but for the sake of context, people have to hear, you know, how God put in the heart of a college guy with partiers all around you, a conviction. And actually, it started out with a college assignment. And everybody's talking about, we need more parking lot space to have bigger keggers. And you're like, I think I'll do this myself. So talk about that assignment and what God did with it all.
Yeah, I always tell students to do your homework, you know. And you never know. God might use it to start a movement or something. But we were praying as students. I mean, that's really the beginning of it. And we love to tell people that prayer is the backbone of every movement of God. I mean, we just believe that when we pray, God moves. And so we were praying. God burdened our hearts. I had this assignment and I wrote this paper. It was just a dream, right? It was just, we want to see something happen on our campus. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to use this paper to write something I feel like maybe God wants to see happen on this campus. And again, I'm just dreaming. I'm writing this paper. It was called Pulse. And it was just a dream of seeing Christians unite in prayer and try to lift up the message of Jesus on campus. We really felt like all we were known for was negative things. And so we said, man, what would it look like if we all came together to point to the hope and love of Christ that our generation needs? And we kind of had this tagline of, we want to put Christ at the pulse of a generation. And so that was kind of our goal. And so anyway, I wrote the paper, got a great response, which I was totally shocked by. All these students in my class, that a lot of them didn't go to church. A lot of them had never gone to church. So, like, I would be interested in this. I would be involved in this. When does this start? And then I got one, of course, that was like, you know, religion's personal, mind your own business, you bigot. You know, and so I was like, 1 out of 20, that's not bad. You know, and so I was actually encouraged by that and photocopied the paper. It went viral and turned into this big student movement. And so, again, in North Dakota, of all places, we ended up starting 20 prayer groups. We had 600 kids trained to share their faith. We had 1,200 kids coming out to a kickoff. And literally by the time the dust settled, over 1,000 kids gave their lives to Christ. Over 8,000 students heard the gospel. And it started this chain reaction that's been going ever since. We went across North Dakota, had 50,000 students in our state. And it's gone from coast to coast. And literally the last few years, it's been like 1 million students every year that are hearing the gospel coming out on campuses and in arenas. And again, that's why we're gathering on the National Mall. We believe that God is offering a reset to our nation, to our generation. We think this is a revival generation. So I'm super excited by what God is doing. Yes, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a lot of opposition. Yes, there's a lot of darkness. But you know what? God's above all that. Indeed. He's the God over the battlefield. And so that's kind of the story of how we got here.
Wow. So good. We've got Nick Hall in studio. Title of his book, Reset, Jesus Changes Everything. He's even got motivating stories in the book of people who've experienced resets at some of these events. A woman who was cutting and then she handed a razor blade back over. I think we'll have you tell that story on the other side. Got 7 copies. I think I want to give Nick the whole time. So this, you know, we're going to do the drawing. Okay. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put reset in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And your name will go in a drawing. 7 of you get a copy. If you've got a question for Nick, include that in the email as well. You can also call with your question, but I'm going to have Aaron just type it in the board so I can give Nick as much time as possible. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. More with Nick Hall when we return. You know what the Bible says? His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. Scripture also says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His mercies, they never fail. Isn't that amazing? His compassions never fail. Wherever you're at in your walk of faith, we all have our things that we cling to that keep us from the best of what God has. And yet, Scripture invites us to throw off everything that hinders in the sin and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race marked out before us. That means some of the things that hinder us may not necessarily be sin, but you know they're slowing you down. Well, I'm really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We've got Nick Hall, founder of Pulse Movement, author of the book Reset, in studio today. We've got 7 copies of his book, Reset, Jesus Changes Everything. And I'd love to get your name in on the drawing. This is a fantastic book. It'll stir up your faith. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put reset in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And Nick, in the book, you tell a story about a young woman named Michelle that I think you met her at one of your events. Tell us her story.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a story that has inspired so much of what we're doing with this message of reset and how it's spread. You know, so the story goes back to so many students were coming to Jesus. And we were trying to come up with new descriptions, you know, because these kids didn't know anything about the church or the Bible. And so we'd say, hey, come forward and be a disciple or meet with a counselor. And they'd be like, what? What are you talking about? You know, you want me to meet with a stranger who's a counselor and be a disciple? What's a disciple? And all of a sudden, a student was like, you know, we're praying for a reset. And so it just kind of took off from there. And we said, man, reset means to clear the errors and get it working again. And so it's literally like what the gospel does. And so at our events, we sort of say, what is it in your life? Think about your computer. Think about your phone. What is it in your life that's standing in between you and God? Is there one thing? Are there a few things that you would say, man, I keep stumbling on this. This is something that's in the dark in my life, and I want to open up to let the light of Christ shine in and begin the process of healing me from the inside out. And so I was given this message. God's offering a reset. This girl comes up to me after the event. Her name's Michelle. And she says, Nick, you know, you came here and I didn't want to be here and I hate Christians and I hate preachers. And, you know, I'm sitting there like, this is not starting well.
not feeling the love.
Yeah. But then she's like, something happened when you were talking. I started to hear this voice And the voice kept saying, Michelle, I love you. Michelle, I love you. Michelle, I love you. And she's like, I kept looking around wondering who was saying it. But then I realized it wasn't anybody around me. She's like, Nick, I think it was God. I think God was saying he loved me. And she's like, Nick, I always thought if there was a God, he would never love someone like me. Because no one's ever loved me before. I've been rejected at home. I've been rejected by friends. I've been rejected by religion, whatever. And she just starts to kind of get teary-eyed. And she's like, Nick, when you gave the invitation to surrender to Jesus, I stood up. She's like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I needed Jesus. I knew I needed to reset. And so I just stood up and I prayed and I invited Jesus to come into my life. And now she's just like really starting to tear up and cry. And she throws her fist out at me. And I thought, at first I thought she was going to punch me. And so I kind of like ducked, you know, because I'm like, I'm not the biggest guy, you know. Yeah. And she looked angry, you know, a minute ago. And so I was a little guarded. But she had her fist out and shaking. And and she said, Nick, I could just tell there's something in this clenched fist. And she said, Nick, I've wore this necklace every day for 5 years. I put it on. It reminds me that I'm worthless. And she opened up her fist, and it was a razor blade on a chain. And so literally she would put on this razor blade every morning, and she'd take it off during the day, use it to cut her arms, her legs. Mm. She's like, I've been trying to commit suicide, all these things. But she's like, Nick, I don't want to wear this anymore. I don't want to see myself the way the world sees me 1 minute longer. I want to start seeing myself the way God sees me. Will you take this? And obviously it was one of these just larger-than-life moments where God was literally just breaking the shackles off this young girl who had been in this secret bondage that no one knew about. And it's like in this moment of vulnerability, it's like the gospel was breaking in, light was breaking in. Her friends all around were all just crying and embracing. She gives me this razor blade, and I just say, man, can I tell your story? And literally from then on, it just became this story that went viral. I mean, literally like Fox News picked up a story on this thing. And then we started to put out trash bins because so many kids were bringing razor blades and pill bottles and hateful letters and just these things that were defining a generation. It's like we had to put out literally reset bins because it was so much contraband of people coming in. But it was literally like this is a visible illustration of God setting a generation free. But again, it started with one girl being willing to surrender, being willing to be open and honest and say, you know what? There's something in my life that needs to get right with God. There's something that's standing in the way. And she was just as real as you could be.
I love that God has, you know, raised you up for such a time as this, Nick, because you have such a clarity about the gospel. And one of the things that's been burning my heart is some of these popular evangelists are saying, everybody's in, everybody's in. And I want to just say that there is a wrath that is to come. And there was a reason Jesus had to die. And though that sounds so good and so tolerant, it's not the truth. And I want you to speak to that because it's so alarming to me because it sounds so all-inclusive, but it's a lie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it is easy in our day and age, especially with political correctness, right, just to be like all roads lead to heaven, you know, and just be happy, make peace, not war, you know, whatever. And I think, you know, the gospel says something different. I mean, and I think that's even today's passage. You know, we read in Habakkuk, he says, God, in your wrath, would you remember mercy? And I think the thing that we often forget is, like, our God is a God of wrath. Like, he's a God of justice. He's a God to be feared.
Amen.
Like, this isn't just some, like, namby-pamby, like, chill out, you know, Jesus is
my
homeboy. Yeah, I mean, it's not like, literally, you know, the high priest would go before the Lord and would get, like, torched if he had sin in his life. You know, like, that's the God we serve. And so, I mean, Jesus came because there was no other way, right? There was no other solution. In the same way, it's like your phone. You could try to reset it a different way, but there's only one way to reset your phone. Like, that's how they made it. And you can't – somebody made it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you could want to make it work a different way. I had a buddy who used to do a help desk for McDonald's, and he'd have all these people calling who were trying to fix things for themselves. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, I hit 8 buttons, and then I did this, and – this one girl, like, dumped a soda on her keyboard, and then she's, like, trying to dry it over the deep fryer.
Oh,
and
great.
Just craziest stories. But you're like, there is a way to fix something.
Yeah.
And then there's ways not to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same way in life. Like,
yeah.
God offers a reset. Jesus came. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way. And so this is literally the supernatural reset of God. It's a new beginning. It's a second chance. And so there is an inclusion in that Jesus welcomes all of us.
That's right.
I mean, that's where the doors are wide open. That's it's a wide table. Come and find your seat. You don't have to earn your way to this table. You don't have to do anything to get to this table. You just have to come to Jesus.
That's right.
But don't be misled. There's one door. There aren't 18 options. There's only one. Otherwise, there's no reason for the cross.
Indeed.
And I think that's where we come back to this. Man, Jesus bled and died because there was no other solution. And so that's the way that we want to keep pointing people to. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus changes everything. Jesus welcomes everybody. And so, man, all day long, I just want to talk about Jesus. But, man, people need to know it's Jesus.
That's exactly right. Louis Giglio once said, our sin doesn't make us bad. It makes us dead. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, yes, God loves everybody, but it's not love that saves us. It's grace that saves us. Love compelled Jesus to come.
Totally.
But we're saved by grace. Remember, a really landmark moment in my young Christian life as a young mama, just dealing with so much insecurity. And I remember... you know, different people going, well, you're so kind and you're so sweet, trying to prop me up and make me feel better. But none of it did. All I heard was, wah, you know. And I remember one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, as bad as you think you are, you're actually worse than that. Mm. But I died for you, gladly so. And insecurity, well, it's just another form of selfishness. I want you to repent of that because it's unbelief. You're not believing what I said about you. You're not apprehending the fullness of what I died for. And I got on my knees and I thought, I've been believing a lie. I repent of embracing this sin of insecurity just because I was coddling it, really. And I'm going to walk in faith in the fullness of my heir status. And that changed everything. And that was one reset moment. But I know you've seen a thousand of these, thousands of these, of people getting the truth, whether they're lost and found or found, but getting more clarity about the gospel.
Yeah, I really think that, again, this whole concept of reset, and people, you know, people get critical over everything. They say, oh, reset, it's not a reset, you know, because reset is... fixing something.
Oh,
and
people
and,
are so
you know,
funny.
And the Bible is, you know, it's born again and reset's not in the Bible. And I was like, listen, reset means to get the system working toward the way it was created to work. Okay. So when God made us in his image, he created us to have an intimate relationship with him, to be directly connected. Right. And so when we're talking about a supernatural reset, it's bringing us back to the way we were before the fall of sin. Right. Mm-hmm. Literally, we're saying, God, would you bring me back? Would you, Lord, save me? God, would you let me be born again like Nicodemus needed to be, like the disciples, like the thief on the cross? Lord, would you do that eternal transaction in my heart? But there's some of us who need that for the first time, and there's some of us who need that a thousand times, right? And I think it happens once when you come to Jesus for that first time, but then that it could be every day after that, man, we drift. And that's what I talk about in the book is it's not the big things that I think are the big problem. It's not like, oh, it's this huge this or this huge that. Like, that's not when you pinpoint. It's the slow drift. It's my heart is slowly getting hard. It's I'm slowly not spending time with God. I'm thinking about other things. And it's just like all of a sudden you look back and you're like, how the heck did I get here? But again, it all started with just your heart is starting to turn. Mm-hmm. And it's like this invitation of Jesus saying, come to me, put your hope in me, put your trust in me. That's the reset we need every day.
I agree, and I love it. And you got to love the nitpickers going, where's reset in the Bible? Seriously, the earth is going to get a reset because we had the Garden of Eden. We've got the corruption of sin, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth. If that's not the epitome of a reset, I just feel like we might need to pray with you today. If you want to call anonymously, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. More with Nick Hall when we return. Glad you tuned in today. I actually really believe you're here by divine appointment, having a fantastic and powerful conversation with our friend Nick Hall, founder of the Pulse Movement, author of the book Reset, Jesus Changes Everything. And we're talking about the reset that happens when you're lost and then you're found, where you make an ultimate reset, where you surrender your life to Jesus. You invite his spirit in you. He forgives you of your sins. He puts a destiny over your life. It is the most important decision you'll ever, ever make. But then, as Nick said before the break, we have a tendency to drift, and we need resets all the time, you know, just little course corrections. If you're listening today and you need a reset, you can call anonymously. We'd love to stand with you. I'm only opening the phone lines for a few minutes because I feel strongly somebody listening today needs Nick and I to pray with you. I just feel that. And so maybe you've been white-knuckling something, and up to this point you've not been ready to let go. Today is the day, right? Today is the day. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. You cited some stats that blew me away, and these actually were from 10 years ago, and you say they continue to haunt your generation. The average undergrad is drunk for 10.6 hours a week. Unbelievable. 81% of teens have the opportunity to use illicit drugs. 42.5% try them. 93% of boys, 62% of girls are exposed to internet porn before the age of 18. 59% of young Christians disconnect from their church, either permanently or for an extended time after the age of 15. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for youth ages 10 to 24. 25% of adolescents have an episode of major depression during high school, with the average onset being 14 years old. Now, the reason we're bringing this up is we talked about this before the break, that if everybody's in and there's not a, you know what I mean, God loves everybody, he does love everybody, but there's just no need to reconcile your life with the cross. Why are these stats so significant? I mean, this proves that we need the power of the gospel. Say more about that, if you would.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I talk about the book in the book is just how could a generation filled with so much potential simultaneously be a generation that's plagued with so many just awful things? Mm-hmm. And I think for us as students, like, these were some of the things that actually triggered us to get on our faces before God and say, God, we need you to move. We need you to do something in our day. And I think that's one thing I love to talk about is, I think when things are hard, we have a choice. We have a choice, again, to look how everybody else looks and think about it how everybody else thinks about it and get fearful and critical and hide and whatever. Or we can take those things as catalysts for us to get on our face before God. And again, remember where power comes from, where mm-hmm. our hope comes from. And I think when you see these situations, these stats, these real life scenarios, it just shows, right? The world is searching. They're not going to find it in drugs. They're not going to find it in sex. They're not going to find it in money. You're not going to find it. And again, a lot of people listening, we've learned that firsthand. And maybe you're even trying right now. We're still trying. Mm-hmm. I think of that Rolling Stones song, and I tried and I tried and I tried. I can't get no satisfaction, right? I think that's not just a popular song from the Stones. That's literally like the heart cry of the world. I mean, literally, we keep trying to fill a void that's a God-shaped void. And I think it's interesting, you know, that even that quote, I heard Shia LaBeouf, who's a popular actor, and he said, there's a God-shaped hole in my heart. If I knew how to fill it, I would. And it's kind of like, well, you just said it was God-shaped, and if you knew how to, like, it's kind of...
Yeah, right. Yeah, you answered your own question.
Exactly. And but I just think it's so profound, but it's so simple just to say, man, God created you with a longing that will only be satisfied by him. Mm-hmm. And as long as we keep turning to everything else, it's going to keep being more broken, keep being more empty, keep being more just self-centered. And yet the gospel comes in and sets us free, because Jesus, he lived the life that we aren't good enough to live, and then he died the death that we deserved, right? Christianity isn't about what you need to do. Christianity is about what he did. It's about Jesus did it. He paid the price that I couldn't pay. He lived the life I couldn't live. And because he lived, I can live. Because he died, I can live. Because he rose, I can live. That's why there's a reset available. And again, these stats, it just shows our generation today, our world today, desperately needs the light of the gospel. And so as believers, we can choose to put our hope in every other message, or we can stick to our guns and say, you know what, there's one message the world needs. There's one hope the world needs. That doesn't need me to be critical. Doesn't need me to be negative. Doesn't need me to be all kinds of political and gossipy, and the world needs me to share Jesus.
That's right.
And know Jesus. The best thing I can do is to love Jesus. Mm-hmm. The best thing I can do is to spend time with him, so that when hard times come for me and my family or my neighbor, man, I can just take him to the mm-hmm. cross, because that's where life is found.
Yeah. And when you're wearing the countenance of joy because you've been with Jesus, that's when people ask about the hope that's within you. We've got an anonymous caller checking in here. I'm not sure what city they're from, but thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, I just thought I'd call in. I've been going to church for a number of years, long years, and I just can't seem to see my need for Jesus. And I don't know why. It just doesn't click in my brain or my heart, or I'm denying it or fighting it. But
I'm so glad you
really come up these last couple of days. So,
can I ask you, have you ever come to a place where you've actually prayed and surrendered your life and trusted what Christ did for you on the cross for you personally?
I have prayed, but I have so I don't know that I've believed everything that the Bible says. Not everything, but I don't know if I've believed that Jesus rose from the dead, or I have trouble believing some of the basic things. But I did pray last year and asked that to my life, and I felt something in my heart, I would say. But I'm just plagued with doubt and unbelief that I'm not sure if anything really happened.
Yeah, I think, man, it's so great you've called. And, man, we're just so honored that you would open up and share. I think there's a lot of people that can relate with where you're coming from and just doubt and questions. And I just want to encourage you, you know, even as you're saying that you have a hard time believing, yet I see you taking steps of faith. You're listening to this program right now. You're picking up your phone and calling in to a program where people are asking for prayer. Like, that is all a sign of God doing a work in your heart and in your life. And so I just want to encourage you, even as a brother, that God is hearing your prayers. And it might not feel like it all the time, but man, he's right there right now wanting you to know that he's with you, that he's for you, that he loves you. And as you come to him and just say, Jesus, help, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. I love that passage in the Bible. Jesus meets us right where we are. In fact, it says in Hebrews, he doesn't just call us to have faith, but it says he's the author of faith. And so this isn't something that you need to say, gosh, I need to do more spiritual push-ups. I need to try harder. This is really an act of surrender. And I believe that even as you're calling right now, and even as you're going to church, even as you're praying, and again, we want to encourage you with some resources. I'd love to even get you a copy of the Reset book and just encourage you. But I'd love to pray for you right now, just again, that God would just renew in your heart. And again, whether that's been anchored or not, that's between you and the Lord. But I believe, as I'm hearing you talk, that God has started something in you. And I believe you're responding to it even right now by calling in. And so I just want to come in agreement with you and just to pray for freedom from fear, from doubt, and just to pray that God would give you the joy that you are his daughter and that you're loved because you've come to him. And, man, he'll iron out the kinks. He'll answer your questions. He's not intimidated by him. That's another amazing thing, that you don't have to be embarrassed to ask questions or embarrassed to say you have questions. In fact, I think what you'll find is that by you being honest about your questions, God's going to use that to give freedom to other people, and he's going to use your journey to help anchor them. So let me just pray right now. God, we just pray for our sister right now. God, we come to the cross right now, Jesus. You died on the cross for us. Jesus, you paid for our sin. You rose from the grave. And Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, we pray that your salvation would just be made real in our hearts right now. God, we come and just confess our need for you. And Lord, I just pray for faith, God, in her life as she's just crying out to you now, even as she's in her car and on the phone. God, just see her faith, God, and just meet her where she is. Strengthen her and anchor her and encourage her, God, that you're beginning a new work. And God, that you love her so much. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear sister, we're so grateful that you called in. And the fact that you have questions, as Nick says, just means you're really being thoughtful about your faith journey. We'll send you a copy of Nick's book and get you a couple other things as well, okay?
Thank you.
Make sure that you give Aaron your mailing address. We'll get you that stuff in the mail. Bless you, dear one. Got another anonymous caller, Nick, that would love some prayer, if that's okay. Hey, friend, you're on the air.
Hi, Susie.
How are you today?
Are you there?
Yes, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're hanging on and hanging in.
Well, I didn't call about the same thing that the last caller called about, but I just can't believe what she said and what you and Nick said and everything, because that is on my mind and heart a lot that I feel that same way.
Wow.
But oh my gosh, I hope that spoke to her heart too. Mm-hmm. So, but I was calling because the story that Nick told about the girl that was cutting, I have a precious 14-year-old stepdaughter that has recently been hospitalized, that she felt suicidal, and she's back to cutting again. Mm-hmm. And the things that you're talking about resetting, just really spoke to me, and I thought of something that might happen. So I had just gotten home from work, and then I'm going out to the store to get something that I think may help. It just all of a sudden came to me. But I just wanted to pray about her. She's just such a sweet girl, and it would just kill us if anything happened to her. I want her to have self-worth and just, you know, a wonderful life.
Yeah, let's just pray right now. And I just want to encourage you. I just always love to encourage parents, you know, just to listen and be there. And, man, it sounds like you're just doing what you can do and what you should do of praying for her, loving her, listening to her. And that's what she needs. She just needs to be loved. And, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes we believe lies about ourselves. And I think we're just praying for freedom and praying that the truth would break in. And so let's just pray right now. God, we just pray for this precious daughter. God, we pray for this young, just beautiful girl, God, that you've made, again, in your image. Lord, she's fearfully and wonderfully made. And, Lord, we don't know what lies or what kind of has happened, Lord, on the inside, or what influence is kind of speaking to her that's making her want to do self-harm, God, and thinking about suicide. But, God, we just come on her behalf. And we just plead the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you love her. And Lord, that you died for her. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Lord, even as we can see, you were cut, you were wounded so that she doesn't have to be anymore. And so, God, we just pray, God, for freedom. God, we pray, Lord, that you would just silence the lies of the enemy and just the lies of our culture, Lord, that are saying anything to her that she's not enough. Or, God, that something isn't right with her. God, we just pray that you would wrap your arms around her, that she would know that she's loved, that she's made by you, and that you have great plans and purposes for her life. God, so I pray even for this, whatever it is that her mom's picking up at the store. Mm. God, I pray just for encouragement. I pray for conversation. I pray for intimacy, God, between them. And, God, would you just bring your healing? In Jesus' name we pray. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear, for calling in, and we're going to get you a copy of Nick's book as well, okay?
Thank you so much.
I'm really glad you called. We need to pause here and take a break. We've got one more anonymous caller. If you're able to hang on, friend, for this very short break, we'll pray with you on the other side. Talking to Nick Hall, title of his book, Reset, Jesus Changes Everything. When we come back, we're also going to talk about the major prayer gathering coming up in just a few short weeks, and it's unprecedented as far as I know in America, isn't it, Nick? The prayer gathering?
That's what we're praying
for.
Come
on, somebody. All right, more with Nick Hall when we return.
When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I try to take life back right out of the
really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Pulse founder, author Nick Hall, about his book, about an upcoming prayer gathering as well. Reset, Jesus Changes Everything. Fantastic book. We're taking just one more call. Anonymous is checking in. How can we pray with you today?
Hi, dear. Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind today?
Well, it was, the third time that I've heard Nick speak on Faith Radio, and I just happened to turn in, so I'm like, and he said it was like a divine appointment or something, so I'm like, wow, I should probably call in, and I'm a little bit shaky here, but anyways, this is just a really kind of critical time in my life where God's setting me free from a lot of things, and it's a season of freedom, cleansing, and renewing, and I would just love prayer, just dealing with, like, purity of my thoughts. It's been something that's been kind of a spiritual warfare struggle since I was a kid. But just in this season of my life, there's something I've been dealing with that. And then just holiness and justice and righteousness in my life. And you know, to stand up for our generation in that way. I'm of the younger folk here, so thank you so much.
Well, first of all, love your heart. And I got to tell you, is after journeying this faith journey for a while in my adult life, whenever God sets the plow a little deeper in the soil of your character, it's because he's about to do a new thing and he's about to bring you to a new place. And so you're wise to lean in and give God access to all that he wants to speak to you about in your character. I love that you're doing that with him. And Nick would love for you to pray for her if you want to say anything to her as well.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I appreciate, man, you calling in and asking for prayer. Never lose that. Mm-hmm. Always ask for prayer. And so it's a great, it's just great to hear your voice. Just one thought I had as you were talking, just as you're thinking of thoughts, specifically with purity or just wrestling through things, something I've been challenged with a lot lately is to be, actually listening to scripture.
Hmm.
And it's kind of a simple thing, but actually just on the Bible app on your phone, you know, you can just hit play. And I've been in the mornings, I'll just hit play while I'm getting ready and I'll just let it just read chapters of the Bible. And I think there's something actually that happens about hearing God's word. It's one thing to read it. I think that something that we've lost as a culture is listening to God's word. Even in church, you know, you think we'll get like 2 minutes of the Bible in the midst of an hour or something, you know, and I just think there's something about that. And I think for you specifically that God wants to anchor your thoughts as you're spending time listening to his words. And so that's just something. But let me pray. God, just thank you so much, God, for this young, dynamic, just warrior for you. God, she desires, God, to be used by you and desires to live her life for things that matter. And so, God, I just come and thank you, Lord, for rescuing her. I thank you for redeeming her, God. I don't know her story, but, God, it sounds like you've just changed her life. And, Lord, and at the same time, God, there can be cobwebs from our past, God, that try to pull us down or pull us back, God. And, Lord, we just come against those things in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you for the victory of the cross and the resurrection. And, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would bring godly women into her life and just godly influences into her life, God, that she would just fill her heart and fill her mind with your truth, God, so that she'll be ready, Lord, because I believe you're raising her up to be a voice to her generation, God, that she's going to impact others with the good news of Jesus. So prepare her now. God, may she take every moment, God, just to spend time with you, Lord. And may she realize that that's the best thing she can do, Lord, is just sit before you, spend time with you, enjoy your presence, because, God, none of that is going to be wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, so just bless her life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear one, thank you for calling and thank you for your conviction. And you also will get a copy of Nick's book. Glad you called today.
Thank you so much.
You know, it really is true, Nick. I'm thinking of your backstory in college when everybody around you partying and you didn't even sound like it was tempting for you, but you had a conviction to do something else. First hour, Liz Curtis Higgs was talking about, as a Christian speaker, she had this indulgence where she was reading a lot of romance novels and God dealt with her about it. She laid it down and started to read Christian novels, and she said it opened up a world to her. And actually, she became a novelist as well. She writes in two genres and is a bestseller and has nourished a lot of people. I feel like that's such a picture that whatever it is we're trying to medicate ourselves with, whatever muddy puddle we're drinking from, it seems so hard to lay it down. But there's no comparison to picking up the stuff that God has, because not only does it empower us, but it always nourishes others and moves the purposes of God's kingdom. I mean, he's such a quantifiable God, isn't he?
Amen. I really believe that. Like, I just even think the first caller, how she was talking about a question of faith and struggling with her faith. And then the second caller says, man, that encouraged me. That was so what I needed to hear.
And, that is how it works.
And I think it's just, man, we go through struggles that we think are meaningless. We go through hardships that we don't understand what's going on. But with God, nothing is wasted. None of it's wasted. And so whatever you're going through right now, whatever opposition you're going against, God is with you. He's for you. And you're going to look back on this and say, okay, God, now I see. And I think right now where I'm sitting in the studio with you, I look back at the last 10 years, last 15 years, and I say, God, okay, now I understand why my family was like that. Well, now I understand why that hardship happened. Now I understand why that had to go through that.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of them are things like, oh, man, I never want to go through that again.
Yeah, but
you wouldn't
trade
it. You wouldn't trade it for anything, because it's like those are the things that God uses. You know, C.S. Lewis used to say that pain is God's megaphone.
Yeah.
And so I think there's these things that's like, man, God, I just want you. I need you. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to waste my life.
Indeed.
And so, man, I got a short life to live. I want to live for Jesus. And so, God, it's like, what do you need to do to change my heart? Do it.
Amen. Well, we literally have got about 2.5 minutes before we wrap and pray. I wish we had given more time to have you to speak of this unbelievable initiative that you've got in front of you. Talk about it and just even how we can be praying for you.
Well, people can learn more at reset2016.com. And obviously, we've been talking about the book and the message. Really, our heart cry the last 5 years has been to rally the nation to pray. And so we believe that what a divided nation needs is a united church.
Hallelujah.
And we believe that, man, there's something. Everybody's saying we need to change, we need to change, we need to change. But I'm just always impressed by, like, everybody says we need to change, but nobody wants to change anything. And there's not any real solutions. And for me, it's like in the Bible, there's one solution. When times are hard, you gather together to pray.
Amen.
And so I just believe. I believe there's something about gathering in one place at one time. I believe there's something about gathering in places of influence. And so some people have been to D.C. before. Some have never been there before. A lot of people are concerned about this election. A lot of people are concerned about the state of the affairs in the world. I think the best thing we can do right now is to gather in Washington and to pray. And people say, how could you get them all? Well, God's given us them all. It's a whole long story about how this happened, but we got a permit. We're going to gather. We're praying for over 1 million people to gather. And again, this is, we said, unprecedented. The next generation is leading this charge. This has never happened in our country's history of literally millennials and teenagers and college students leading a charge to invite the entire nation. Every other time it's been, you know, it's older generations saying, hey, we should plan something for the whippersnappers, you know. But, like, I just encourage parents, man, this is God answering your prayers.
Mm.
And so I just encourage, man, grandparents, grandkids, moms, dads, teachers, coaches, get in the car, get a part of this. I've been telling people you need to find a way to get to Washington. If you're getting married on July 16th, move the wedding to the National Mall. And people think I'm kidding, but I'm like, I really believe that God is going to do something that's going to shift our nation on that day.
Yeah.
And so we're coming with faith in anticipation, praying that God would rend the heavens and come down. And I believe the most important day in 2016, I don't think it's Election Tuesday. I think it's July 16th.
Mm.
I think the day when the nation gathers to pray and the world is going to be tuning in, it's going to be simulcast around the world. And again, we're coming to pray. We're coming to seek Jesus, and people say, oh, it's too much money or it takes too much time or whatever excuses. And I'm like, okay, first off, all those excuses are really lame because we spend money on really dumb things and we waste time on all kinds of things. And people say it's scary. What would I gather that bit of a crowd? Times are hard. It's like, I'm always like, man, our response as a believer is never fear. Our response in looking at fear, in looking at opposition, is prayer. It is together. It is to stand on the name of Jesus in faith and to say, God, you're bigger.
Yep.
And so that's what we're doing. And it's coming up. A ton of people are going to be there. And but you know what? At the end of the day, we're not coming just to hear from some artist or speaker, even though all of the awesome ones, Michael W. Smith and Kirk Franklin, Casting Crowns, Hillsong, whatever. We're coming to hear from God.
Amen. 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 And if you absolutely can't make it, fast and pray, because you don't put yourself in harm's way like Nick has without major opposition. Pray for him, pray for his family, pray for the outcome. Would you pray for our nation even now, Nick?
Lord, we just love you. We pray, God, for an outpouring of your spirit in our day. We need you, God. We have no hope but you. We've turned to everything else. And God, we just repent.
Yes.
God, I repent, Lord, in my own life. And Lord, just those listening, God, we just turn, God, and we just pray that you would hear our prayers and that you would heal our land again. Jesus, you can do this. We know you can. Fill us with faith, God, and send us out, Lord. God, when we get out of our car, when we get out of our home, God, send us, God, to neighbors and people that need the love that you demonstrated on the cross. Jesus, you change everything, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Nick, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing for the kingdom, that you have the audacity and the guts to dream big and then to put your feet to your faith. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Susie. It's awesome to be here.
I pray you'll come back after the July date and tell us how things went.
Let's
all right?
Do it.
All right. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and just a bit you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I don't know. What do you think? Was this a doubleheader? I think it was. So be a radio missionary. With a click of a button, you can send out today's program by Facebook, email, Twitter. We make it very shareable, so you can be a radio missionary. Remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.